Well, praise the Lord. Good morning to all of you, dear ones. I'd like to welcome you again. Some of you arrived last night, and I'd like to welcome you to, this is about the seventh time we've had this conference, and this is quite glorious. We started off with about 80 or so, and then now we're probably 300, maybe more. The Lord has continued to bless and to grow, and we're quite thankful for that. First of all, I want to introduce myself. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Rob Robinson. I am from Ohio, presently living in Cincinnati, Ohio. I have received the Lord when I was I think it was about 13 or 14 years old, and began to follow the Lord when I was around 17. And I would say I began to enjoy the Lord at that age and experience the Lord, and began to realize something about the Lord at that age, and I actually fell in love with Him. Amen. And the more I fell in love with Him, I couldn't help but just to give myself to Him, and it really affected my life, affected my whole destiny. My father was a pastor, so was my grandfather, all of them. And I was completely, absolutely anti that. You would have to say I was a bit anti-Christ. I was really not for the Lord. But by God's mercy and by His grace, the Lord saved me. Saved me from going in that direction and caused me to fall in love with Him. And now I love Jesus.
Amen.
Do you love Jesus?
Amen.
Are we in a room full of Jesus lovers?
Yeah.
How about you all stand up as loud as you can. Just put your hands in the air and say, I love Jesus.
Yeah. Okay. I love Jesus.
Two more times.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus. Okay, have a seat. Didn't that feel good? It's so good to be able to proclaim that you love Jesus. Who did this? How did this happen? Somehow this happened, right? The Lord had mercy on us. And I thank the Lord for His mercy. You know, this conference we are covering, it's called, the main title, it's called The Unique Work. Listen to that. The Unique Work in the Lord's Recovery. Well, I think we like to fellowship a little bit about, first of all, the Lord's recovery. You know, recovery means that there was some original intention, something that was originally a particular way, and something happened, and it fell, or it fell apart, or it got damaged, or it got ruined. Okay? And, you know, most things like that cannot be recovered. And I have to tell you something. No one can recover anything but God. God's intention in the universe, He has an intention, right? He has a purpose and an intention. And He created the heavens. He created the earth. He created all the animals. He created man on the earth. He had an intention. But something came in. God's enemy, Satan, Lucifer, came in to damage, to lure man, to tip man away from God. So man became fallen. And that means the entire earth became fallen. Okay? And because of that happened, guess what? God is a wonderful person. And He is a determined person. I don't know how determined you are. But God is so determined concerning His intention and His will, He will never be defeated. He cannot be stopped and not defeated. So God Himself has a desire to recover man, to recover the earth, to recover the universe for God. Right? God initiated it. God created it. It is His. But God's enemy, Satan, came in to spoil. So what did God do? God comes in to recover. You know, God has a recovery. There is a recovery. The Lord is always recovering us back to Himself. God's intention in making man in his image and likeness is that man would what? Contain him, and man would express him, and man would represent him. That's why we were created. How about that? Remember this. You were created to contain God.
Amen.
Why? Because we were made in the image of God, and we what? We have God's appearance. Every one of you looks like God. How about that, Colin? You look like God. Right? We have the appearance, and we were made in God's image. That means that our inward parts, our inward virtues, you could say, our inward parts are made in a way to contain God. God, with God, it's attributes. God is righteous. God is holy. God is love. God is light. And we have the inward, you would say, capacity to express love and express light and righteousness and holiness. So we were made as a perfect match. A perfect match. But this perfect match that is for God got damaged. Man partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which represented Satan. Okay? And man became fallen. Therefore, the entire world became fallen. In fact, the Bible tells us through the disobedience of one man, right? Death, sin came into the world, and death through sin. So the entire thing apparently got spoiled. But praise the Lord. God is a God of recovery.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? He didn't stop and say, okay, Adam, you're done. I'm done. Forget it. I'm going to go and create a new planet and a new situation, and I'm going to make sure this doesn't happen, that happens. No, that's not the way God is. God is a God of recovery. So there is a recovery. But this recovery is to recover man back to God himself. And you know, God's original intention was for man that he created in his image and likeness was to be put into this garden, right? Garden of Eden, you could say. And there was another tree there called the tree of life. So God's intention was for man to partake of him. So man's life would be God. Man's expression would be God. Right? And man would represent God. But the only way we could do this is by partaking of God. Okay? This is what is necessary. So this all got fallen. Man fell, and eventually we got the tree of life got taken away, and we got taken out of the garden. So you know what? God didn't stop there. God came in to recover. And this, I'm going to just share a little bit, and I think every time one of the brothers share it, they're going to share something more about the matter of God's recovery. Okay? And you know, when we say about the Lord's recovery, you said there's a unique work. The word unique actually is from the same word as holy. You know, God is holy. Therefore, God is unique. You see? God is not common. God is unique. So when we say the unique work, we're saying a work that's not common. It is not ordinary. It is not something that can be carried out by human effort. It is altogether something related to God himself. So there's a unique work that the Lord is recovering. And he's recovering it by his life. You see? So don't think we're talking about something common. We're going to go out and work for God. Or we're going to do something. Actually, we are here for God to work himself into us.
Amen.
How about that? The work we are speaking about is an inward work, not an outward work. You can go do many outward things. That doesn't mean a whole lot. But what God is doing is within. And we are recovered back to God himself so that God can come inside of us and he can work himself into us. Whether you understand or you don't understand, you are blessed to hear these words. I began to hear words like this when I was in high school. I didn't understand anything. In fact, a brother who shared this message, he came to Akron, Ohio, and I was with a bunch of high schoolers, and we were going to impress his name is Brother Lee. He was going to come, and we thought, we didn't know what we were doing. We were all excited. So we were running around the hallways, pulling each other, wrestling each other. And then we were going to go in there into the meeting and behave. And sit there and behave. But you know what? We didn't realize he was already in the hallway. And he was looking at us. He was like smiling. You know, naughty boys. He was like happy to see us. So then we got, and we all sat in the front row. And then we didn't know it was him. All of a sudden, we were sitting there all well behaved. He gets up and we go, oh my goodness, we're already exposed. We couldn't put on any show. Anyway, that was the first time I saw that particular brother. And that brother shared something. I couldn't remember one thing. Not one thing. It's a blessing. It's in a book. I can read. I was there, but I don't remember being there. But anyway, it was really wonderful. And even if I understood, I didn't understand. You know what happened? I was there, and I was under that speaking, and that speaking released the Lord's word, and it was an entreating. It caused me and persuaded me to love the Lord and to give myself to the Lord. I don't remember anything. But I do praise the Lord that I'm still here today. It's really wonderful. So God's unique work is to work himself into us. Whether you are 17, 18, it doesn't matter how old you are. You must know that God has a unique work. It is not common. It is not ordinary. It is not something you can just go and do or carry out. It is something he wants to do and desires to do in us. So last night we spoke about a pattern. The Lord was a pattern. What do we see there? We see the infinite God becoming a finite man and living a life on this earth. And you know, this person was a what? It was a union in life. There was a human life and the divine life. And this person, there was a mingling, right, in natures. There was the divine nature and there was the human nature. And there was an incorporation in persons. He is the Father, yet he is the Son. Right? This was quite a person. And this God-man lived a life. And that life was his work. Right? The Father was working himself into him in every way. And in every matter. And even when he was 12, I appreciate when the brother shared, the Bible says that he subjected himself to his parents. You see? He was God. He could have told them all to go jump in the lake. You know, look, I'm God. Get away from me. No, he subjected himself. This is what God did. He subjected himself to his parents. And the Bible says he grew in favor with God and man. Don't think he was just pleasing the Father. He had to subject himself to the sovereign arrangement in his life. He was there growing, and God and the Father was working himself in him. So at the age of 30, what he ministered was what he was. He was divinely human. Right? He was a union. He was a mingling. He was an incorporation. He just ministered what he was. He lived out the Father. And he had all these disciples around him. And what were they doing? They were watching him. They were observing him. You know, up here, you can talk all you want to. But let me tell you, let someone live with you. They will see what you are. The Lord was there. And they were naughty. Weren't they naughty? They were naughty. Peter was naughty. James and John, they wanted to call fire and burn people. You don't go along with us, you're dead. Let's call fire down. Get out of our way. If you're not, you know, they were really intense. They were for God in their kind of way. And you know, the Lord says, you don't know by what spirit you're speaking. You're certainly not speaking from the Spirit of God. What kind of spirit is that? You see? Burn people who don't go along with you. You see? Naughty, fighting, vying for position. Peter was always, you know, very outspoken, and always he was speaking out of place. Right? He always, you know, they came to see if your master pays tax. By the way, he said, no. He says everything. Doesn't stop. He cannot stop himself. And then wait for the Lord. No, he couldn't stop. Anyway, this is the kind of person he was. Anyway, the Lord was there, and all the disciples were observing him. How about that? So when he went out to minister, apparently he was healing and he was feeding 5,000, but really his disciples were observing him and watching. They were watching him, observing him. They saw what he lived was his work, and his work was his living. That's exactly what they did. That was the pattern that they saw. That was his pattern. Even they mention his life as a pattern. I think Peter does, right? Mention that the Lord's life was a pattern. Isn't that marvelous? So he went out to minister, and eventually he went. And what did he do? He never spoke his own word. Have you ever spoken someone else's word all the time? You don't talk. Someone says something, you don't say anything. You speak another word. He never spoke his own word. He never what? Sought his own glory. He never did anything for his own glory. He never did his own will. He never what? Lived by his own life. He always denied himself and lived by the Father's life. How about that? This is what he did. People would ask you, what did Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And our answer should be, Jesus would do nothing. He didn't do anything. He never said anything. He didn't do anything. He never said anything. Have you ever said that to a person? They ask you, what would Jesus do? Well, you would say, well, Jesus would feed the 5,000. So if I ask you, And there's a need here, you would just tell me, well, just do a miracle. No, Jesus wouldn't do anything. Jesus always laid himself aside. He always put himself aside. He always lived by another life. Okay? This was his work. This was his living. And then this person went to the cross. He went to the cross. Romans chapter 5 says, what? That we were reconciled through the death of his son. Amen. On the cross, all of us fallen people who were enemies. The Bible says even when we were enemies, we were all enemies. Do you believe that you were an enemy? Do you believe it? Who believes they were an enemy? If you don't believe it now, wait 5 years. You will know you were quite an enemy. We're all enemies. But guess what? All enemies... You know, and we have all these peace treaties and all these peace this and that and all, you know, all these United Nations trying to reconcile. It never works. Has it worked? Have you noticed that? Never worked. Never works, does it? But you know what? It will never work. Because God is carrying out a unique work. And that work is altogether wrapped up in his son. Okay? And the Bible tells us that in Romans 5, chapter 5, it says that we, enemies, were all reconciled. To be reconciled is to take two parties who were once together, who have become enemies, and to bring them back together with no problem between them. Okay? Who were we enemies to? To God. Okay? As long as we were sinful, doesn't matter how good you are. There are a lot of good people in this room, but I have to tell you, all good people are enemies to God. If we have not been reconciled, if we have not been saved, if we have not received the blood of Christ, if we have not identified with His all-inclusive death, we are enemies. No matter how good you are, how good your family are, how good the apple pie was. Apple Pie America. Some of the ones from Ohio know I'm talking about them. Apple pie, rhubarb pie, pecan pie. Over the break, we had an in-state visit in Ohio. We go to these homes. These kids from a small town, their homes are just wonderful. Wonderful parents. Wonderful house. Wonderful food. Everything is wonderful. But you know what? If there's no Christ, it is an enemy to God. Fortunately, we weren't any enemies' homes. I have to tell you, good or bad, without Christ, we're enemies. So He reconciled us through the death of His Son. Through His death, we got reconciled. How about that? And then, you know, this is what the Lord did on the cross. He was there, and He accomplished death. And you know what He did? He was there for 6 hours. For 6 hours, He was there doing what? First half, He was dying as a martyr. No one could find anything wrong with Him. The second 3 hours, He was dying as the sin offering. He was there, being poured out for the sins of the many. Okay? He was there for 6 hours. And you know what He accomplished? Some of us should know this. When on the cross, what did He deal with? He dealt with sin. He dealt with what? Sins. He dealt with the world. He dealt with the flesh. What else? Satan. What else? The old creation. What else? The old man and the old creation. The law of commandments contained in ordinances. You know what ordinances are? Ways of worship, ways of eating, ways of living. All the ordinances that divide us. Who likes to pray out loud? Raise your hand. Who likes to pray quietly? Raise your hand. Who likes to jump when they sing? Raise the hand. Who? A few right there. Right? If you go down to South America, they really enjoy. They really sing, and they really just kind of like this, and Puerto Rico, and they really, you know, if you're just like this, you couldn't take it. How do they sing in Korea?
More quiet.
If you have an ordinance, if you have a way, you cannot go on. How about the food? Who in here likes Korean food? Who in here likes Mexican food? Who in here likes German food? Hardly any hands, right? Okay, even more. German food is actually not bad. Who in here likes British food? I don't think we know. All the Brits stole all their food from everybody else. Really, they don't really have any food. Chips, fish and chips, greasy fish and chips. That's it. But anyway, if we are together based upon food, the way we eat, and the way we like to do things, we will never get on. But on the cross, the Lord Jesus dealt with the law commandments contained in ordinances. Isn't that great?
Amen.
We're not stuck in praying loudly, silently, singing this way, that way. All these things are gone. Okay? But the Lord didn't just die on the cross. He didn't just deal with the one who had the power of death. That is the devil. He didn't just deal with sin and sins. He also, what? Passed through death. And He conquered death. Death is the last enemy of man. Who wants to die in here? But anyway, death is the last enemy. Well, praise the Lord. Even if you don't want to die, if you're mortal, you're going to die. This is part of the message this morning. Then He resurrected and became the life-giving Spirit. He ascended. And what? He poured himself as the Spirit into his believers. And you know what? He reconciled us to God, right? And he did a lot of things. So I'd like to ask, is every one of you, have every one of you believed and received the Lord Jesus? Amen. Is there anyone here who has never asked the Lord to come inside of you, has never asked the Lord to fill you, never asked the Lord to come inside of you and be your life? Anyone? Okay, so guess what? We are all qualified to hear this message. Okay. Turn to your outline. Message 2 says, ambassadors of Christ with the ministry of reconciliation and co-workers of God with an all-fitting life. This message is to all of us. Guess what? To varying degrees, we are all ambassadors. How about that? You know what an ambassador is? Ambassador is a person appointed by the highest government, right? And they are sent to a country with that country that sent it as authority, and they're there to represent the interest of the country that sent them there. You know, recently we had a murder, an assassination of an ambassador. That was serious. Even as a U.S. citizen, it bothered me that our ambassador was murdered. It bothered me to that amount. And there was a part of me that wanted to see, what is this? How can you kill one of our ambassadors? Right? I mean, on one hand, that's natural, physical, but I'm still physical, and I still live in this body. I still live in this country. I was very bothered that someone could come in and kill an ambassador. That ambassador represented the authority and interest of our country. And an ambassador is not voted in. They are appointed by the president. Obviously, we are not speaking about the U.S. We're speaking about ambassadors according to the Lord's unique work. So here it says, and Roman number 1, and all these points are under Roman number 1. Let's all read that together.
We need to be ambassadors of Christ with the ministry of reconciliation.
Right. We need to be ambassadors of Christ. Okay. What makes us ambassadors? We have to realize that the Lord's incarnation and the Lord's human living and the Lord's death on the cross and the Lord's passing through death and conquering death and coming forth in resurrection. And not just that, according to Matthew 28:18-19, the Lord says, all authority in the heavens and the earth have been given to me. So when the Lord ascended, he resurrected, ascended, he was what? He sat down. He was enthroned. He received all the highest authority. The highest authority in the universe is with God himself. But this was given to Christ. And Christ gave it to whoever he chose. So he told his disciples after he resurrected and he saw them, right? He says, all authority has been given to me, and heaven on earth given to me. Then he says, go therefore and disciple the nations. He appointed them and he told them to go out and disciple the nations, okay? So here we need to realize that every believer, everyone who's received the Lord Jesus, to a varying degree, is an ambassador. Why? Because haven't you all believed and received the Lord Jesus? Don't you have the one in you who has the highest authority? Yes, he lives in you. So what are we? We are all representatives of him and his throne and his interest on this earth. Who is in, who is at the Lafayette and what's it, Purdue University? Who's there? Any Purdue students? Okay, right here. Do you know who you are, dear Brother McGinnis? You are an ambassador. Whether you think you are or you don't think you are means nothing. But the fact is you are. You and Caleb Corey, right? Yeah, and you. And now I think, is Anna Carolina going there next year? Anna, where are you? She was in True School. You are an ambassador. How about that? Before your feet hit that campus, you're still in high school, right? So you're still an ambassador. What's the name of your school? Carmel. In Carmel High School, you are still an ambassador. But you know what? In a matter of months, you will be an ambassador at Purdue. Praise the Lord! The Lord will have what? A representative. A female representative. Not just these brothers. But the brothers and sisters, both of you, are representatives of the highest authority in the universe. We have the highest life. Hasn't the Lord got inside of you? Hasn't the Lord been operating in you? Has the Lord been growing in you? Anna Carolina, hasn't that? Okay. The Lord's been working in you. Why? So you can represent Him. So that you can carry out His unique work, which is to reconcile people. Are you going to live in the dorm? Okay, Lord Jesus. She's going to be in the dorm. You need to tell us all what dorm you live in, and we will pray. Lord Jesus, strengthen Anna Carolina. Cause her to pray with all the other students. And while she's in that dorm, may she represent you. May others get reconciled to you through her. May God entreat others through her. How about that? You don't have to be a big-time brother, a ferocious brother, a brother who played football in high school and you're popular. No, you can be a little sister. Maybe nobody knows you. But when you open your mouth, others get brought to the Lord. That I told you guys the story. That's exactly how I got turned to the Lord. A little wrestler. A little blonde-haired wrestler. Where's a little blondie? Is there a little blonde person in here? Okay. He was like this short. Any of you know Trisha Wilging? Her father is the one who brought me to love the Lord. He was short. He was a wrestler. He was nobody. I was popular. He was not. I was on the football team. I was on the wrestling team. I was more popular. He was not popular. And he was always like, oh, Robbie, you know everybody. You know everybody. You know everybody. And he knew nobody. And his sister was even more unpopular. But guess what? When he spoke to me, you know what? I respected him. When he spoke, something of me caused me to be subject to him. I could not resist his words. Eventually, he invited me to come to a meeting. I kept saying, no, 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 no. Eventually, I got subdued by him. This little short blonde-haired kid kept talking to me. And he wasn't pushing me. He was just there, caring and urging. I found out later him and his father's family were praying for me behind the scenes. They prayed. Eventually, I said yes. Eventually, I came to a crazy meeting. It was just insane. And there is no real reason I should have ever gone back. I should have never gone back to that meeting. In fact, I didn't even talk to him for 2 weeks. And why should I not talk to him? I was a senior, popular. Why am I running away from this little boy? Well, eventually I talked to him again, and he talked me into it again, come to a meeting. This time was a high school meeting, and that wasn't better. But you know what? It didn't matter. He was an ambassador. This little short blondie represented the highest authority. And he spoke to me. I got subdued. Eventually, I start calling on the name of the Lord. The first meeting, they were crazy. They were sitting in circles. Everybody had flowing long hair, you know, and they looked like they were burnt out. And some of them were burnouts, you know? And they were just there, eat Jesus. Eat Jesus. It was crazy. Oh, I couldn't take that. I mean, some of you have heard, you've read in the Bible about eating Christ. I never heard that. I had a pastor, a father who's a pastor, all them, they never talk about eating Jesus. So I heard about eating Jesus, and, you know, I couldn't take it. But eventually, I became an eater. How about that? Are you all eating Christ?
Amen.
Isn't it great to eat Christ?
Amen.
Praise the Lord, we can eat Christ. Amen. Well, let me tell you something. A young ambassador had the authority because he had Christ in him. Because Christ had been working and working himself into him. Eventually he spoke, I got subdued. And I became a lover of Christ, and not just a lover, an eater of Christ, a drinker of Christ, a breather of Christ, a follower of Christ, right? Praise the Lord! I'm happy that I fell in love with the Lord Jesus. I'm happy that David Wilging, you know, spoke to me, and I got turned around. Isn't that wonderful? So let me just read this to you. Here it says, the ambassadors of Christ are ones that represent Christ, the highest authority in the universe. God has given all authority in heaven and earth to Christ, and God has appointed Christ to be King of kings and Lord of lords. It says in Timothy, or in Revelation in Timothy, Revelation talks about him being the King of those who reign as kings and Lord of those who reign as lords. And then in B, it says, the ambassadors of Christ do not live by what they are or by what they can do, but by the immortal life which is Christ himself within them. You know, all the ambassadors do not live by what they are. And let me tell you, if that little David Wilging was trying to impress me by what he was, I would have never been open. He was there. He had spent time with the Lord. He had spent time to pray. He had spent time to really deal with him. Even I think he fasted. He really turned. He really cooperated with the Lord. And so that caused him to be constituted with something. And the Lord used him to speak to me. I would encourage every one of you to spend time with the Lord. Because only when you spend time with the Lord do you experience not living by what you are. Whatever we are by birth is not sufficient and is not required to be an ambassador. The Lord doesn't need that. In fact, we are mortal, right? All mortal beings and whatever is mortal will die. Who in here considers yourself a bit, you know, smart? I mean, let's be honest. See, there's some hands. There are those of you who believe that you're pretty bright. Come on, let's be honest. Who in here considers yourself kind of bright? Some hands didn't come up this time. Okay, who in here considers yourself with a lot of athletic ability? I'm looking at Ron right now. He won't raise his hand. Who in here is who's a good soccer player? How about good tennis player? How about good basketball player? How about soccer? Or did I say soccer? Okay, how about good football player? Who in there considered himself pretty good at some sport? How about good at chess? A few chess players. All right, this is going to get some of you. How about, are there some of you who think you're really good at music? Everybody's looking at a particular person over there. Some of us think that we're pretty good at doing lyrics. Right? My son-in-law there, Matt, I'm sure he thinks he's pretty good at doing lyrics. But let me tell you, dear son-in-law, out of love to you, your mortal lyrics will die. Everything mortal will die. Our wisdom, our capability, our knowledge, everything will die. Okay? We are not ambassadors by what we are, by what we can do, by what we can say, but by this life, by the life of the God-man. This is how we are ambassadors. The more this life works in us, operates in us, the more it constitutes us, and the more it equips us and perfects us to be the Lord's ambassadors. We should always remember that. Never forget that. It doesn't matter what you hear. In many Christian circles, and we love all believers, all Christians, even we love that they love the Lord and they want to serve the Lord. But we have to be honest to tell you, we are not ambassadors based upon what we can do. Some of you like young people. Do you like young people? Who likes to work with the young kids? Very good. Okay. Let me tell you something. Whatever you think you can do with them, this will end. If you can, and if people appreciate, oh, Turner, you're great with the young guys. They love you. They like you. Let me tell you something. This will end. Don't have confidence in what you are. The ambassadors of Christ do not live by what they are, by their ability. They live by another life. Amen. Here, we go on to read on. He says, whatever we can do, whatever we are, whatever we have is going to die. This is why we should not have any trust in what we are. We need to realize that Christ, as the immortal life within us, we should trust in this life, live by this life, and work by this life. You know, there's a verse there that talks about that our mortal life will be swallowed up. This is in 2 Corinthians. I think it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse, is it 4? Does any of you have it? Can you read it, please?
For also we who are in this tabernacle groan, being burdened, in that we do not desire to be unclothed, but clothed upon, that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Amen.
What is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Amen. Whatever we are needs to be swallowed up. Amen. The Lord cannot use it. The Lord cannot use how you look. The Lord cannot use what you can do. He cannot use what you can say, your ability, even your music ability, your lyrics, your knowledge, your capacity, even your desire to save the world and to stop hunger. The Lord cannot use it. And the Lord never did this kind of work. The Lord never came and solved world hunger. It is very hard for some of us to receive that. Why didn't he do that? Because that was not his central work. That was not his work. His work was to live out the Father. And he had all these disciples to observe him as a pattern. And eventually this one, through his death and resurrection and ascension, became the life-giving spirit. And he got into these disciples. And they lived the same life. They lived by the same life. And this is the Lord's unique work. He must work himself into us so that whatever we are, whatever we do, is by him, not by us. This is something that we must see. At the age of 18, 19, 20, I don't know if you ever will come back, but when we face the Lord faithfully, you can never deny you heard this. You can never deny hearing about God's unique work. God must work himself into us. We can do nothing. He has to do everything through us and in us for his interest on the earth. Okay, we go on. Here it says, the ambassadors of Christ are determined to gain the honor of being well-pleasing to him. To be determined is to be zealous with a strong aim, striving earnestly to be well-pleasing to the Lord. If we are going to represent Christ to be his ambassadors, we should pray, Lord, I call heavens and earth to witness that my ambition is one, just to please you. 5 years after I really began to follow the Lord, and I went to all the meetings, I didn't miss meetings. I was serving. I was doing many things, but still within me, I knew I had a reserve. Still within me. And you might be a serving one here, but still within you, there's a reserve. A student or a serving one, this word is to me, to all of us. We have some reserve. Still, we have not handed ourselves completely over to him. So 5 years after I was following the Lord challenged me in a particular way, and I had a particular prayer. You know, here, we should have this experience. We call heaven and earth the witness. The day. There's a song we sing about consecrated. Where's that song? Consecrated is thy temple, purged from every stain and sin. Right? There's a word about let the earth in solemn wonder. What song is that? Is that 403? Live thyself, Lord Jesus, through me. There's a stanza. It says, let the earth in solemn wonder see my body willingly offered as thy slave, obedient, energized alone by thee. At a certain point in your life, you must have this experience. As the Lord is working in you, operating in you, there will be another point where you say, Lord, I call the heavens and the earth to witness that from this day forward, I am yours. I give every inch, every fiber of my being. And it's not just something you can repeat by words. It is something that the inner operating God must work out in you. You cannot fake this. This has to be real in you. At a certain point, and I remember that day, I was driving a car. Some of you know what kind of car I had, a Volvo. I was crazy because I was out of school and I wanted to drive a nice car. But eventually, I was beating the steering wheel on that Volvo. I said, and you may laugh at this. I said, Lord, if I don't enter into your kingdom, it's going to be your fault. I was serious. I said, because this day forward, I give myself completely to you. I hand myself over to you. So it will be you, not me. It will be on you. That day was quite something for me. Because when I had that prayer, everything changed after that. My whole life changed. I was never the same person again. The Lord brought me to that point that I, somehow the Lord got in me and I just gave him everything. I was no longer going to live to myself, but to the Lord. And I tell you, that changed everything. Every one of us needs to have experience where the Lord has been working in you, working in you, working in you, dispensing in you, to the point that you one day will call heaven and earth to witness. That day, you give every part of your being to him. You yield everything to him to the extent that you put him on the spot. You challenge, Lord, I'm here. I'm for you. If I don't make it, whatever happens to me is on you. It is not on me. It is on you. I prayed that to him, and the Lord heard my prayer.
Amen.
Every one of us has to get to the point in your life where the Lord would hear such a prayer from you. Even the angels, everything, heavens and the earth, witness that. And this is not a display. I didn't do this in front of people. I did this just by myself. For us to be the Lord's ambassadors, we must have the ambition to be well-pleasing to him. We must get to the point, Lord, I don't care anymore what anybody thinks about me. One time I was living, you know, back in Cleveland and a long time ago, we had three brothers' houses. One brother's house were the all-stars. One brother's were mediocre, and the other brother's were basically no hopes. The first brother's house I got in was the no-hope brother's house. And so your desire is always, Marty, to get out of that house and get into the other one. Because the leading brothers only visited the hopeful brother's house. Never did they come. Never, ever did they come to our house. I'm not saying leading brothers should do that. That's not what leading brothers should do. But that was terrible. Anyway, I was in that house, and while I was in that house, I was there, and one brother, his name was Mike, he had a Harley Davidson, and he had a big leather jacket, he was big, his hair was slicked back, he was huge. And then there was a few different kind of brothers, and there was me, I was from the suburbs, and I had my hamsters with me. And the first brother's house, I had two hamsters. By the time I was in that brother's house, the wall was full of hamsters. And the brother's house could not take it another day. Get these hamsters out of here, stinking up the house. And this brother, a big Mike, he would bring beer in the brother's house and make bratwurst with beer. It was quite a house. It was something else. We had an ex-convict in the house. He was there, and there was all kind of people. Used to be in drugs and all kinds. That's the brother's house he was in. Well, eventually, we brothers had a real breakthrough. And this brother Mike and myself, I was going to move out because the brothers asked me to move into the all-star brother's house. Okay, bear with me. So as I was going to move out, Big Mike, he was mad at me, and he was yelling at me, and so I finally got so mad at him, I just said, okay, you fat, da-da-da-da-da. And then he got mad at me, and of course he was going to pound me to I don't know what. But we went to the backyard, and we were both ready to fight, and he could have killed me. And then all the brothers were out there looking, and then there was a married couple on top, and they were out there with their son looking down, you know. And we're there, ready to fight. Then all of a sudden we look at each other, and we start smiling. Then we start calling on the Lord. And then we start crying. And then we embraced each other. Oh, brother, I love you so much. I'm so sorry I have to look. Okay, who could do this? Who could do that? The only person in the universe could do this is the Lord himself. He was working himself into us. Operating in himself into us. So here, it says, ambassadors of Christ are determined to gain the honor of being well-pleasing to him. To be determined is to be zealous with a strong aim, striving earnestly to be well-pleasing to the Lord. This must eventually be your experience. And then it says, and we are, if we are going to represent Christ as ambassadors, we should pray, Lord, I call heavens and earth to witness that my ambition is one, just to please you. You, Lord, just to please you. No one else, nothing else but him. You have to get to that point where you don't care what people think about you. You don't care if the brothers love you. Or let me use the word. You don't care if the brothers like you. Let me tell you honestly, they don't have to like you, but they have to love you. I don't trust that anyone's liking me or me liking anyone. But love is of the Spirit. Like is frivolous. All the brothers have to love you. Sisters, you may consider some sisters don't like you. You know what? If you want to be well-pleasing to the Lord, you have to forget about this. This will keep you from pleasing the Lord. You'll be occupied with others liking you or not liking you. Forget about this. Have the ambition to be well-pleasing to him. Okay. The ambassadors of Christ are constrained by the love of Christ to live him. To be constrained is similar to being carried away as a tide of water. The love of Christ is as strong as a tide of water that overcomes us and carries us away. Have you ever gotten carried away? Have you ever gotten so constrained, so overpowered. Who's ever been out in the ocean and you just thought you're going to die because you got carried up by the wave? It's so strong. Some of you, yeah. You kind of dangerously fooled around, and eventually the waves take you out. And you know, you're just going out. And you know you're going out, and you're not coming back. That's how the Lord's love is. Don't try to control yourself. Don't try to, right, Travis, be cool. Don't be cool and collected and a cool Christian. Be a Christian that got carried away. How about that, Danielle and Molly? We get to get, right? Carried away. We should be carried away by a strong tide of love to the point we have no control. Do you have control? Some of us are control freaks, right? Who in here will admit that? Control freaks. But let me tell you, to all you control freaks, there is hope. The hope is the love of Christ. Amen. It will constrain you. The more you spend time with the Lord, you will have the experience of a tide. A tide will come in like a tsunami. And that's it. It's over. It comes in. It may shock you. All of a sudden, a tide comes in and you love the Lord to the point you're just on the floor. You're rolling. You know, and that's it. It's over. There's no coming back to shore. Isn't that great? These are the ambassadors. To love Christ, okay, the love of Christ constrains us to live to Him and not to ourselves. That's a verse, right? The Lord died that those who live, the love of Christ constrains, right? The Lord Jesus came and He died, right? He died for all that those who live would no longer live to themselves. To means toward. No longer living toward you, but living to Him. A married couple are married to each other. Who's married in here? Okay, is there a couple sitting next to each other? Oh, back there? Over here? Can you stand up? You and your... Oh, wonderful. Look at this. Your name is Tony, right? Where are you from? Streamwood. How about you? What's your name? Christy. Tony and Christy are married to each other. Are you married with each other? Are you just kind of hanging out with him, Christy? You just kind of like him. He's kind of cool. Looks kind of Italian, you know. Looks kind of cool. You know what I'm saying? Or are you married to him? You see? You live to him. Thank you, dear couple. How many sisters in here are married to their husband, not just with? I like, see, Barb Perino, praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Two means that the day you got married, you were one. There's not two trying to get along. That you are to each other. How about that? And I know it's not modern thinking. Modern thinking is this and this and this and this. But let me tell you, the divine thinking is we are to each other. How about that? Okay, we go on. To live to the Lord is to be under His control, direction, governing. We care for, okay, is not to live, not to be under our own control and governing and aims and goals. To live to the Lord is to be absolutely under His control, direction, governing. It means that everything we do is to fulfill the Lord's purpose and desire. To live to the Lord means that we seek to please the Lord in every aspect of our daily life. Living for the Lord means that I and the Lord are still two. Living to the Lord indicates that I am one with the Lord, as a wife is one with a husband in married life. Let me ask you something. Who's a student here? Do you study to the Lord? And I guarantee you, if you study to the Lord, many of you who are loose in your studies would never study like that. Some of us, we don't study very well. Some of us are just complaining and whining because you're studying to yourself. But how about you study till, you think the Lord will say, hey, yeah, just don't study. Flunk the test. Don't go to class. If you are living to Him, the Lord has the control. And you will study. You will study very well because you are the Lord's ambassador. And you represent Him. And you represent, you are under His authority. You are not loose in your studying. You will not have any excuse. If you really give yourself to the Lord, your studying is to Him. Those who raise up children often raise up children to themselves for their glory. But we raise up children to Him. Whatever we do is to Him, not to ourselves. Okay, here it says, ambassadors of Christ do not know people according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Paul says, from now on, we don't know anyone according to the flesh. But we know everyone according to the Spirit. This is a further matter of being an ambassador. How do we know each other? Do we know each other based upon your abilities? Do we know who actually is the one who can do lyrics and who's the one who can do music and who's the one who can do that and do this and do this and do that? Even a brother can give an eloquent message. And we're like so impressed with his knowledge and everything. But that just shows how outward you are. You have to determine how much Christ has been wrought into the brothers. Not what they can do or what they can say. We have gotten fooled often by this kind of thing. By ones who are talented and gifted, and they can speak, they can do this, they can hear. But we have not really exercised to know them according to Christ. So we got deceived. It is more important with how much Christ you have than how eloquent you are. It is not so important you're eloquent. It is even not so important that you are knowledgeable. Even a mother without much knowledge can raise a wonderful child because she loved the child, not because she's so knowledgeable. We have to know each other. And let me talk about this. Do you know each other according to your ethnic background? You know, there's a brother here I used to know in Austin. He's staying in my cabin. Where are you? You know who you are. Yeah, you. Stand up. This one. Okay, he may or may not be Asian. I don't know. But he and I, we don't know each other like that, do we? We are brothers. And I love this dear brother, and I keep tabs on him. You know, when I talked to him in Austin, I enjoyed the Lord when I was with him. There was something there that attracted me to Christ because of him. I don't know him according to what he is, ethnic background. Don't be in this room looking at, oh, Asian. Maybe African, I don't know. Or Hispanic. Anyone here from Mexico? Okay, you stand up. How about Chile? Who's a Chilean here? That's right. But you know what? Do we know each other? You know, my wife is Colombian. And when she married me, she got killed. Colombia is over. And I lived down in Colombia. And when I lived down there, America was over. I couldn't be American. You know, do we know each other according to this? Are we around each other according to this? Brother Bang, you know, you asked me, you befriended me on Facebook, didn't you? You know what was good? I appreciated it. He wanted me to be a friend of his on Facebook. You know, I'm not Northwestern, and I'm not this or that, whatever. I'm not. Are you originally from California? Yeah, I'm not a California type, let me tell you. But you know what? I was happy. Of course I will befriend you. You know why? Because I know him as a brother. I really don't know him any other way. And what I'm interested when I'm around brothers is how much Christ. How much Christ? Not in a judging way. I just want to know them in that way. Andrew and I, ever since he came here, we know each other as brothers. Tell you the truth. I have never had kimchi at his house, and I want to. But he never asked me to come get kimchi. You know, I've never tasted it. So I've been waiting for Andrew and his wife to say, hey, come over and have some kimchi. I will have some. I'm so glad that I don't know what it tastes like. But you know what? I know him and his wife left balmy Southern California to come here to be at Columbus, Ohio. And you know, when he first came here, I said, okay, I want you to do one thing. He goes, what? I said, I want you to go to the pumpkin show. It's in Circleville, Ohio. He goes with his wife, his two kids, and he calls me. He said, Robbie, there are only 6 Asians here. He goes, everybody in there is like white as snow. They're like, and he was happy. I said, you know, I did a disservice. I go, this is Ohio. And Southern California is very hard to find. But you know, it was good. He didn't like say, oh my gosh, I'm getting out of here. I'm going back to California. No. He stayed. Isn't that great? Why? Because of Christ. Not because of ethnic and culture and all this. We don't know each other in this way. Don't know each other. Where's Nicole Ramirez? Uh-huh. You moved in to be with that dear one next to you, right? Okay, let me encourage you too. Don't know each other according to the flesh. If you want to have a sister's little tiny apartment, then the two of you need to enjoy Christ together, and you need to know the Christ in her. That sister has Christ in her. And that's what you need to pay attention to. And you need to pay attention to that with her. I do. If you do that, let me tell you, that would be wonderful, right? This is part of the aspect of an ambassador. Okay, now we go on. Ambassadors of Christ carry out... Wait a minute. Let me just read on. The ambassadors of Christ do not know according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We need to recognize things and realize persons, not according to the outward appearance in the flesh, but according to the measure of Christ in the Spirit. People may be known according to their profession, position, talents, capabilities, but in the church, how about that? In the church. The church is not an organization. In the church, which is the Lord's body, hear me out here. In the real church as the Lord's body, we know no one according to the flesh. We don't know who's in the quartet, who's in the choir, who's in the rock group, who's the guitarist, the lead guitarist, rocking us every Lord's Day. Do you know him? Well, who is he? Point him out to me. We don't know anyone like this. We know everyone according to the Spirit. Amen. You can rock all day, but there's no Christ. How about Christ? Okay. The ambassadors of Christ carry out the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation is not only to bring sinners back to God, but also to bring the believers into God. How about that? Who wants to be into God? Amen. And it says, I lost my place here. Okay, here am I. Okay. I got excited about being into God. And to make them absolutely one with God. This is our ministry. Our ministry as ambassadors is not to do some ordinary, typical work. Our ministry is to reconcile people, to bring people back to God through the preaching of the gospel, and through ministering life to them, bring them into God. And that means you need to be in God. You can only bring a person where you are. If you are in God, you will bring people into God. You see? So we go on here and says, the ministry of reconciliation is not only to bring sinners back to God, but also to bring believers into God and to make them absolutely one with God. Only when we have been fully reconciled, God and we are fully saved. We are fully saved. The extent to which we can bring others to God is always measured by where we are with respect to God. The more we are in Him, the more we can reconcile others into Him. Saints, get into Him. Amen. Spend time in Him. And you know what? Allow yourself to be perfected. You know, the Lord gave some, the Lord, the one who resurrected and ascended, in order to carry out this work of reconciliation, He gave some as apostles, some as evangelists, some as, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That means to equip them, to supply them with what they need to function. We need to be perfected. On one hand, there's you spending time with the Lord. On the other hand, there's you allowing others to equip you and supply you. There are many others that can equip you and supply you with what you need to carry out this ministry. We may love the Lord, but we also need to be perfected. We may love the Lord, but we also need to be trained. We need to be raised up to carry out this ministry. Okay? Now let's turn the page. Here it says, we need to be co-workers of God by an all-fitting life. A, we need to work together with God by a life, not by any gift. That is all-sufficient, all-mature, able to fit all situations, able to endure, listen to this, able to endure any kind of treatment. Any kind of treatment you can imagine. And I'll tell you, if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, if you read about church history, they were, a lot of believers were subjected to all kinds of treatment, horrible treatment. But the all-fitting life in them was able to be in that situation. So here, this is not by a gift, but this is by a life. To accept any kind of environment, work under any kind of condition, and to take any kind of opportunity. When we are the Lord's co-workers, all ambassadors are the Lord's co-workers, or should be the Lord's co-workers, working by, not their gift, by this all-fitting life. This life that enables us to fit. Some of us, and I'll say a word to some of us serving ones, sometimes you may go to a place. Let's say you were in Texas. And I heard about this one brother. He loves Dallas and Irving. Because you know why? The highway is so perfect. Isn't that true? Who's been in Dallas before? Isn't it easy to get around there? Let me ask you, is it easy to get around Chicago? Who can find their way in Chicago? Bar Perino can. Howard can. But I certainly cannot. So, if you look at, Chicago, cold, Chicago, the roads are terrible, and things like that. Let me tell you, we have an all-fitting life. We have a life, and we are the Lord's co-workers. Okay? We don't work by our life. We work by this life. And we are able to take any opportunity. The Lord sends you to Chicago. The brothers had teased me saying, hey, we gave up sisters to you. When are you going to send brothers back here? Well, I hope if the Lord sends brothers to you, they will have an all-fitting life. Otherwise, it'd just be brothers would be problematic. But don't you want brothers who are working by this life? Isn't that be wonderful? That's what we need. We need more serving ones who are co-workers. And they work by this life. They can fit in Chicago. They can fit in Dallas. They can fit in Fargo, right? Cincinnati. They can fit anywhere. You know, they can fit in South Africa. You know, a brother went to South Africa and he was enjoying Then eventually to the fellowship, he was asked to go to Anaheim. He told me he struggled so much. I cannot stand Anaheim. They call it Anna Slime, Anna, all kind of stuff. But anyway, it is not based upon your taste. It is based upon this life. How about that, Dion? Well, you're trying to figure it out. You know what? You better get into this all-fitting life. You know? May the Lord in the body lead you. May you be a co-worker by an all-fitting life. May the Lord do this in you. I don't know if you should leave Chicago, brother. Maybe the Lord would keep you in Chicago. You know, I'm happy when you're in Chicago. You know that? I'm not trying to pressure you, but I'm really just like, every time I think of Chicago and with Dion there, I say, oh, praise the Lord. Why not? Why not? Okay. Why not Detroit? Right? Why not Detroit? I'm happy he's there. Praise the Lord. Why not? Let me ask you something. Would you like to see a church in Detroit? Yeah. I think 90% of them are black, right? 90 what?
High percentage.
High percentage. So, what if there's a church in Detroit and 90% of them are black? And they sing a certain way. Could you go? Would you be able to fit there? Could you fit there? No, you could not. But the life in you can. You could never fit. But you know what? Praise the Lord, we have an opening life that can fit in Detroit. I'm excited about that. Okay. And here it says, If we have been fully saved and have an all-fitting life, then any situation or circumstance is right for us to minister life to others. Any situation, any circumstance is right for you to minister life to others. If you have, if we would have an all-fitting life, we need an enlarged heart, a heart to embrace all God's people. How about it, brothers and sisters? Do we have such a heart? As we grow in life, as we mature in life, how do you know a mature brother and sister? They have an enlarged heart. They can embrace all kind of believers and all kind of conditions. You don't have this attitude like, ooh, get away from me. I only like the PhD graduates. I don't like to go in that university with those townies. What do they do in those small towns? Right? They four-wheeler. Four-wheel. And what else do they do? Mudding. You know, I'm from a big city, but one day I went mudding. And one day I was riding a four-wheeler. And one day I was in a car with some other ones, and all they did was drive the car around real fast and speed around. And there was no doors on it. We had it like that. And mud was coming inside. And, of course, I had my white shirt, my tie, my khaki pants. I got in the car. And I got mud all over me. Let me ask you something. How about that? Isn't that something? But you know what? I love those people. I love those people. They are diamonds to me. But here it says, we should have an enlarged heart. To be enlarged by growing and maturing in life is equivalent to being fully reconciled to God. When we have an enlarged heart by being matured and supplied by Christ, this equals our being reconciled. This means we're fully saved. So Romans chapter 5 tells us what? We were reconciled by the death of His Son. But it goes on to say, but much more we shall be saved in His life.
Amen.
Who needs to be saved much more? When you are saved much more in His life, you know, it expresses itself as an enlarged heart. You're able to embrace all the believers. You love all the believers, but yet you're able to speak a word to them, to entreat them, even if they've been misled, to help them to come back to the Lord. You're not a politician. You're not political. You're not afraid. You know, who in here has children? Okay. This brother, Jefferson, Okay, your children, when you kind of correct them a little bit, do they get upset? Yeah, because they're just young. Their heart is constricted, and they're like, I'm mad at dad. Right, at Jefferson, when me and my sister were young, whenever we got in trouble, my sister and I planned the night before, we are going to run away next day. So we took a sheet, we dumped our clothes in the sheet. She had hers, I had mine. And as we were coming down the stairs, my grandmother said, hey, what's going on up there? So we ran upstairs and pushed the sheet with the clothes underneath the bed. So always my mom would find the sheet with clothes there. Because we were just immature. If someone says something to correct my bad behavior, I couldn't take it. How about us? Can others speak to you and help you to come back to the Lord? Can others minister life to you and help you to come back to Him? And how about you? Paul says, please enlarge your heart toward us. Don't be closed. You know, we need to be enlarged to receive the love and care of the brothers and sisters. Okay? I'm getting close to the end here. Here it says, with an enlarged heart, we are able to embrace all believers regardless of their condition. And with an open heart, we are free to speak to all believers frankly concerning the real situation into which they have been misled. D, we need to be enlarged to have intimate concern of the ministering life. If we have the ability to carry out a work but lack an intimate concern, our work will be fruitless. Our not having the loving and forgiving heart of our Father God. Does not our Father have a loving and forgiving heart? How many of us have experienced the Father's loving and forgiving heart? Have we sinned often? Hasn't our Father loved us and forgiven us? We know this, don't we? We know He loves us. Who in here knows your Father loves you? And He has forgiven you, right? Okay. And then this goes on to say, and the shepherding and seeking spirit of our Savior Christ is the reason. Okay, if we don't have this kind of heart, that's the reason for our barrenness. Have we experienced the shepherding and seeking spirit of our Savior Christ? Haven't we been shepherded? Right? In so many ways, we have been shepherded and we have been sought out. Who has been sought out this last week? Who would you say the Lord sought you out? Who's been sought out this weekend? The Lord been seeking you out? Yes. You see? This is the Lord's heart. So we have to have such a heart and intimate concern for others. How about that? Now we just read on and then we will stop here. Okay. Eloquence, gift, power can never touch people as much as our concern for them. How fruitful we are. Remember this. Eloquence, power, all that stuff cannot gain people, cannot touch people. How fruitful we are does not depend on what we are able to do, but on whether or not we have intimate concerns. John 15 tells us, okay, abide in me and I in you. And does it tell us that the Lord's desire is for us to be spiritual? Is that in John 15? How about holy? How about victorious? How about powerful? Right? Does it say that? Those of you who know the Bible know it doesn't say powerful. Powerful! Powerful preacher. How about that, Turner? The Lord's desire is for us to bear fruit. Real spirituality is expressed in fruit bearing. If you really are in the Spirit, really enjoy the Spirit, you will bear fruit. Okay? Then goes on to say, how fruitful we are does not depend on what we are able to do, but on whether or not we have intimate concern. And ministering life is a life that warms up others by cherishing them in the humanity of Jesus, to nourish them in the divinity of Christ, with the riches of Christ. Paul shepherded the saints as a nursing mother and exhorting father. Paul came down to the weak ones. How about that? Weak ones level so that he could gain them. a lover of the church in oneness with the church loving Christ. Paul was willing to spend what he had, referring to his possessions, and to spend what he was, referring to his being, for the sake of the saints in order to build up the body of Christ. Within us is a church-loving Christ. And the more we enjoy him, the more we are perfected, the more we will carry out this ministry of reconciliation. And we will cause others to be brought to God, to be brought into God, to be one with God for God's interest on this earth. How about that? Praise the Lord. How about everyone will find a neighbor right next to you, and let's have a little prayer for a couple of minutes to digest the word. Even you can pray over some of the verses, but just pray them in, and then we will have some other ones.